Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an incredible treat we have today. We've talked to trailblazers. We've talked about people who have gone and shattered glass ceilings. We've never talked to anybody who has literally become limitless, and there is no ceiling for what she and her team have been able to do. Kathy Hildreth is with us, M1 Service. You might have heard her before. Not only is she a West Point grad, so near and dear to my heart, recently ranked as the 49th America's richest self-made women, and that's just in 2022. So ma'am, thank you so much for coming on the Got Your Six podcast and stoked to have you here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So as we kind of talked about before the episode started, right, coming from West Point, growing up in aviation with your parents, having this love of flight, and then being able to do what you do with M1 Service, what do you take away from your time either at West Point or in aviation that you implement pretty much daily throughout your time when you're working or just interacting at M1?
Well, you know, I will tell you first that no one is probably more surprised than me that I would make aviation my career for the rest of my life, if you will. I did grow up in a very flight-interested family. My father liked to fly and bought an airplane when I was very young and forced my mother to go get her pilot's license in the 1970s, which wasn't that common for women to just go out and get a private pilot's license, but he needed a co-pilot, so he made her go get a license as well. So you know, did spend a little bit of time in my youth flying. And then, you know, after I went to West Point, you know, trying to determine what branch that I wanted to be. I mean, aviation was a perfect fit for me. And I have a love of flying, a love of aviation. And then I furthermore, you know, went into aviation maintenance, which is that's what carried over into my career in the Army, as well as in my career now in industry, in the defense industry. And so I tell people that I didn't stray too far from what the Army taught me. And so I'm still doing aviation maintenance and a lot of for the Army. The Army's my largest customer. We do all the aircraft maintenance at Fort Rucker, Alabama, where the flight school is. And then the Air Force is my second largest customer. And I do a lot of fighter work, rotary wing work for them as well. So it wasn't something that I even knew existed as far as how big the defense industry was. So after I got out of the Army and learned about the defense industry, I was fortunate to have a bunch of different roles that taught me different things about the business. And then eventually when I started my own business, I had a very good foundation of where to take that between my technical skills that I learned from the Army and then the business skills that I learned from working for large companies.
When did you get to the point where you're like, you know what, I could continue to learn forever before I start? What really was the antithesis or the jumping off point that you're like, I'm here, I know enough, and we're going to figure it out as we go?
Yeah. So, you know, that's interesting. I worked for several large companies in business development. And for those of you that are familiar with the government space, there's small business requirements that large businesses have to have subcontracts with small businesses in different socioeconomic categories. And then there's also the federal government has small business set-aside contracts. So when I was with large companies, a lot of smaller companies would approach me to want to do work as a subcontractor. And some of those people that had started companies didn't seem like they had the skill set that I had and the experience that I had. And so I guess my attitude was, well, if those guys can make it, I think I can make it doing this. So I really took that as my pushing off point to say, you know, I can always go back and work for a large company if this doesn't work, but I'm going to go out and try it on my own. And I was fortunate. My husband was still on active duty at the time, finishing up his career. So I didn't have to worry about, you know, everything, putting bread on the table, and was able to go take some risks and take some chances, which not everybody has that opportunity. I was fortunate to have that.
As an entrepreneur and, you know, growing to what now I think you have 6,500 employees inside the organization, you know, and that starts with one person initially. How did you continue to come back and bet on yourself along the way? Like, was there a mantra or something that you would go back to?
You know, I think there's a couple of things I'll say as far as being able to look at an opportunity, a business opportunity, and to say, I think I have all the requisite capabilities to do that and step out and go for something, even when somebody else might say, well, that's kind of risky. You really don't have the qualifications to do that. So, you know, part of it's a little bit of risk-taking. Part of it's a little bit of self-confidence to say, well, you know, the worst thing that can happen is, you know, they tell me that, you know, I'm full of it and they won't give me that work. But, you know, to a large degree, you know, trying to look at how things and in our government, at least this is, I'm talking about the defense government industry, how they grade things and how they award contracts, and then trying to make yourself as close to the specifications as you can. And, you know, we use little bits of experience as we gain little bits of experience to build on it. So, you know, it's not something like you just go out, you say, I'm going to go do this. You have to build it block by block by block. So you first go out and you have to get your first opportunity, your first job. And we were fortunate to 6 months almost to the day that I left my full-time day job. I got a small subcontract with a large prime doing helicopter flight testing, which is what I did in the Army. It was just seven people, but those were our first seven real employees. And we used that to build and to bid more things, more diverse things, until the point where we were able to bid some of the largest service contracts that are out there. But it's a process, and it takes a time to build that experience, and it takes patience, and it takes really the willingness to do it. Unless you want to go acquire another entity, which we didn't. We did it all organically. We grew completely organically. Our first full year in business was 2004, and I did a little over $1 million in revenue. And today I do a little over $2 million in revenue a day.
Do you sometimes just step back and you like, I know you're very grateful for all the work because you've been able to do it brick by brick along the way. Nothing was really handed to you. Like you went out and earned everything, you and the team. Do you ever sometimes take a step back and you're like, wow, like we're continuing to do it and go and where we want to go, but where we've come in less than 20 years is astonishing.
Well, you know, certainly, you know, again, I'm grateful for the opportunities we have. You know, our team has worked incredibly hard. We've really focused on performing well. And, you know, you talked about a mantra. One of our other mantras is mission first. That's why the company is called M1 Support Services. It stands for mission first. So we're all about supporting our customers' mission because we're completely focused on DoD. We don't do any work. We've done some work for some other government agencies, but right now we're focused on DoD. And so, you know, what we do is incredibly important to train pilots for the Air Force, for the Army, to do tests and evaluation and new weapon systems and things that the military doesn't have enough manpower to do internally. And it has to contract that out to industry. But our folks are out there, you know, 75% or more of my workforce are all veterans. So they're very dedicated to the mission and continuing what they did in supporting their nation, both in uniform and out of uniform, or now in a different uniform, if you will. Most of them are really committed to making sure that we support the warfighter, and we do a lot of those things that the military, frankly, couldn't do without industry.
Right, and having, like you said, that rallying point of mission first, and having such a large veteran population inside of your workforce, there's shared understanding across the board right out the gate. And you're able to create a culture of everyone's working together on the same mission as opposed to trying to go in like 60 different directions. How do you continue to hone that and build that culture?
We compare this to almost like a sports team. Everybody wants to be on a winning team. And when you're doing well and you're performing and you're making your customer look good, it has a motivating effect on everybody, and it kind of becomes, you know, contagious. So, I mean, there's always those, you know, that same thing when you're in the military, there's always a 5 or 10% that, you know, they're not going to get with the program. They're there just to pick their paycheck up. But, you know, we have very dedicated people that go out there every day and want to make sure that we're doing things safely, providing a quality product and ensuring that they can, you know, accomplish their mission. So I think part of that builds on itself as people get motivated and things go well. We've taken over some contracts from other contractors who don't have our same philosophy. And you can tell after you come in and you spread a little bit of different culture how different that is. And we've had, you know, people come in, evaluators that come in from the government and say, I don't know what you guys are doing. This is the same workforce, but they're more motivated. You know, I don't see people, you know, sitting around, you know, wasting time and those things. I mean, again, you're always going to get that one off. But, you know, in general, once you get that culture inculcated into the workforce and everybody's working towards success, it really is. And it creates its own set of peer pressure, people to step up for those people that aren't willing to step up.
I'm sure there's times as you continue to go on where you look back at your time in the Army, and especially at West Point, were there any lessons learned recently that have kind of come full circle where you're like, I remember having to do the similar experience or taking this lesson from when I was a cadet at West Point or when I was a young lieutenant in the Army, and you're applying it now in 2022, almost 2023?
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the biggest things that we learned that you're aware of is, you know, really how to set your priorities, because everything focuses on you get done what's on your priority list, and those are the things that, you know, become. I have a lot of people recently asked me about balance. I think balance is really tough, especially if you own your own business and you're doing some of those things. So that's why the priorities have to become more important, because you have to focus on the things that are most important. You have to get those done. And, you know, and sometimes those other things that are less important and have less priorities have to go out the window. That's a good lesson learned, you know, from West Point and from the military doing that piece. And then I think the other piece that I feel is really important, and this is, again, we try to put in our culture, is do your best every day. And it doesn't matter if you're sweeping the floor, if you're doing whatever, you need to kind of, you know, focus on being the best. You know, even if you're not good at a task, you need to do the best you can. And, you know, there's a lot of us that were in an academic environment, might not have been our best class or our best subject, but if you put your best foot forward and work as hard as you can, you usually can succeed, whether or not you're really good at it or not. But it's an amount of effort does count. So I think those are two things that I take with me.
And as you look at that, like, consistency over time, even if there is a dip along the way, the trajectory is still positive growth. As you're looking at, you know, those setbacks, and you talked about, you know, constantly being on a winning team, how do you rally the team, the culture around when you're, you know, it's not 7-0, it's 0-7. How do you kind of take the team and help them bring them back into the fold in that accountability piece?
Yeah. So, you know, like any business or anything, I mean, there's, you know, ups and downs, peaks and valleys, and, you know, successes and failures. And I think sometimes, you know, what we try to do is, if we have a failure, and we've had failures, sometimes those turn out to be the best thing, that we didn't get a job or didn't have something happen, because it would have distracted us from where other places that we were trying to go. So, you know, we try to look at it is in that manner. And then we try to take the lessons learned from, you know, why didn't that work, and what should we do differently? And, you know, in some cases it's, you know, is that really a customer that we want to serve, for a lot of different reasons? So it helps us make better decisions going forward and take those failures or setbacks and push them in a more positive direction by using those for growth and learning purposes.
When you do the lesson learned, do you more or less do like an AAR after action review like you did in the Army, or do you have like your own kind of thing that you've built inside the team to handle and process lessons learned? What does that look like?
Yeah. For example, we bid a job and we don't win. The government gives us a debriefing document that said, this is why you weren't selected. So that gives us a starting point to say, okay, we really didn't understand what they were going for here. We really didn't understand our competitors were going to be irrational, which sometimes happens as well. So there's things that go on that lead us to have our own self-examination based on the feedback we get from the customer. In other cases, you know, we're taking a look at, you know, why did we go down a certain path? And, you know, sometimes we deviate from something that's been successful, and that turns out not to be a good solution. And so I think, you know, all of those come into play to take a look at our internal processes, our customers, and what they're looking for. And, you know, there's the customer base that we have is getting younger and less experienced. And what that results in is they become a little more risk averse. And so when people have less experience, they don't want to take a chance on maybe an innovative approach that more seasoned professionals would say, yeah, that looks like a good idea. Let's try that. And that's something that we're working with internally to view it is, you know, take a look at who's evaluating us. And if it's somebody that's 3 or 4 years out of college, they have a whole different philosophy and outlook than someone who's been doing it for 30 or 40 years.
And that's also an introspective moment too, because you're able to meet people where they're at and understanding where they're coming from based on their level of experience, their understanding, and then still trying to get everyone across the finish line together, which is extremely hard to do, especially with lots of different stakeholders. Is there something more or less specific that you and the team internally discuss when you're looking at relating to people and when it comes to either experience or just different perspectives to kind of continue to move forward together?
You know, that's one of the things that we wish wasn't so personality dependent. But unfortunately, you know, we deal with a lot of different people and it becomes personality dependent. So you do have to become sort of, as you alluding to, sort of almost a psychoanalyst to look at your customer and say, okay, for this customer, I have to do this behavior. For this customer, I have to do that behavior. But it should be more objective in nature. But what we find is a lot of times it depends on the person that's sitting in the seat. So we do have to customize our approaches sometimes on delivering a specific type of solution based on an individual. And then unfortunately, those people, just like in the military, those people rotate 2 or 3 years and then you start over with a new one and have to break them in, just like you do when you're in the military with a new commander. So there's a lot of similarities in that fashion too.
And going back to your time in the military and where M1 service is now, do you have a favorite failure that you go back to over and over again? You're like, I'm so glad I made this mistake or I learned from this experience, right? Because you're either winning or learning. So do you have a favorite lesson learned from your experience thus far?
So I'll give an example. We're a fairly young company. We were maybe 3 or 4 years old, and we had an opportunity to get into more the facilities maintenance side of the government services rather than the aircraft side. And we had a mentor protege program. That's the government allows larger companies to get into a formal relationship with smaller companies and help them along. So we had a company that decided that they wanted to be our mentor and took us along. And it was a large job for us at the time that we didn't win it. And that's one of those ones that we're glad we didn't win it, because if we had gone into the facilities maintenance rather than the aircraft maintenance, it would have taken us on a completely different path than where we are now. And frankly, that's a very cutthroat segment of the industry. And I'll just say the type of people that you hire are less likely to be veterans. If you're going to hire somebody that's going to cut the grass, clean the snow, you know, fix the plumbing, that's way less likely to be a veteran than an aircraft mechanic or a logistics specialist or a pilot. And so it really is a different sort of, you know, class of employee that takes a lot of different management. And we know we're fortunate to have the high population of veterans that we do in our workforce.
That's one thing I find absolutely incredible about M1 Services and what you've continued to build is not only are you reaching forward to continue to grow the company, but you have no problem reaching back to veterans and helping pulling everyone forward, because that transition from talking to friends and others is challenging because you're reforming and rewiring your identity and to have an organization like M1 Services for people out there coming out of the aviation field is absolutely incredible. Ma'am, as we wrap up, I want to just kind of close with one question. And we hinted at it earlier, and we talked about, like, you know, finding a way to be better today than yesterday and always looking for a chance to succeed. So today, how did you become better than yesterday?
Well, you know, I guess I'll say that, you know, every day try to learn something new. You know, I try to stay on top of, you know, what's going on in the world, which is not always something that you want to know sometimes what's going on in the world. But just try to learn something new. And that's another thing that I think has not surprised me, but it's the fact that there are so many new things that I learn on an almost daily basis about business, about people, about different things. And I think that's what you should never stop learning and always be listening to people and taking in and broadening your skill set. And you'll never find that that's a bad thing to do any of those things. What did I learn today? Today I learned that I need to stay on top of all of my managers because sometimes they forget to do things. But that's not a, that's not really a new thing, but that's just the thing that came up today where I had expectations. You know, we all make assumptions that people know what to do. Sometimes people don't know what to do. So we sometimes have to let go of those assumptions and make sure we're steering people in the right direction. So that was my lesson for today, is don't take anything for granted that your managers know what they're supposed to be doing.
And that is a great lesson to continue to just have always in the forefront of your mind. Man, where can people go to learn more about M1 Services and more about what you and all the other philanthropic work that you do, whether it's Wounded Warriors, Flying H Foundation, where can they go to find out more?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a lot of stuff really out there online besides, you know, the publicly available stuff through Forbes and the other things. There's a little bit of information on our M1 Services website, www.m1services.com. But, you know, we're a privately held company, so we don't put a lot of stuff out there in cyberspace. So that actually turns out to be a competitive advantage to us many times as people are trying to figure out what we're doing. So I shared a lot of that with you today.
And man, we are absolutely incredibly grateful, not only for your methods, your strategies, your tactics, but most importantly, thanks for having our Six. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Sixers. Did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. You got something out of this? Be a battle buddy. Share with a friend. Pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.